I guess I don't understand how alien or unfamiliar this is going to be, or misguided. I mean, it is almost like, you know, I feel like Simplicio sometimes. Mm-hmm. So come on, this makes like a get out of here with all this stuff. Anyway, so I don't know about Upshaw. I think increasingly, if you don't mention the name and say science is unruly, and then talk about the big problem here, and Kuhn's noticing it, is that you don't understand the conduct of scientists, scientific conduct, or indeed the conduct of anyone, if you try to understand it in terms of persons following rules. That kind of criticism of attempts at social theory or whatever is usually these days very well received. Though it does make for problems, because a lot of research and a lot of social theory still wants to talk that way, you know, like role theory. The rules for the role will help us understand what's going on.
But you can't articulate the rules between
the characters. Yeah. And there's a whole problem with role theory and all of its versions of persons sort of disappear, either in Goffman's version, where you're nothing but your role, or in something like Sartre's version, where what's left after your role is this kind of existential core that's adrift in the void and decides whether to be or not. It's kind of a meaningless place to be. Real persons, you see, here's the pitch. I mean, this is McIntyre's pitch. Real persons in the real world are entities that exist are embedded in narratives. The narratives of themselves, their biographies, their families, their neighborhoods, their countries. And that's where persons are at. But at the same time, as they are, in one sense, acting in a play whose script has been written, or whose characters have been scripted, they are also authors of the play. And that's how you get that self-reflexive business. So part of the story about, and in some ways I'm repeating stuff I've asked you to read, but part of the whole business here about the nature of science and progress and all of that stuff, one way to see why it's perplexing is just because in lots of ways it depends how the story turns out. Right? I mean, right now, why are people a little less sure that science progresses? Because they're a little less sure the story turns out good. I mean, isn't that basically why? Sure it is. I mean, Kuhn wants to say, look, at the end of the day, science progresses because there is, he somehow has a way of measuring this, without, he doesn't tell us what it is, maybe there is such a way, but somehow or other, despite all of this changing of worlds and paradigm shifts and all that stuff, nonetheless, since 1600, people doing science, namely our kinds of people, are able to solve more problems. And this is finally a claim he makes about how to resolve this problem of progress.
All you have to do is look at the proliferation of paper. That's one criteria.
Well, sure.
How many journal articles?
Okay. But yes. But see, now we're back in a way to where we started. Why am I drawing that circle? Well, remember I said, and indeed suggested in one of the questions, you can look, is science natural philosophy or is science a kind of engineering? Now, a lot of Kuhn's book is about science as natural philosophy, right? But to say science progresses because more problems are solved, or more papers are published, or 88% or is it 96% of all the scientists who ever lived live now, This is to treat science like economic growth, right? It's like saying, Andy Warhol is a far better artist than who's the guy who's so wonderful? Andy Warhol is a far better artist than can't remember the name. No, but I'm seeing blocked on it. All right, anybody. Andy Warhol is a far better artist than Rubens because there are far more paintings commissioned and painted today in New York City than ever there were in all of Renaissance Florence or in somebody else's Paris, right? Or, you know, Edward Albee is a far better playwright than William Shakespeare because an awful lot more plays commissioned and written in London.
That's not a fair comparison at all.
Why?
It's the difference between saying, do we do more art, or is there more art exploration these days than there used to be, and like saying, is there more science done today than there used to be, and saying, was Newton a better scientist than Einstein?
All right, art has progressed. Art has progressed, because there's a lot more of it.
A lot more exploration of artistic themes, a lot more different kinds of things are being
done. Oh, well, all right, okay, okay. But see, what you mean there is...
Well, some people would say art has progressed because it's reached, there is art, not because there's more art, but there's art that is...
It's better art.
Better art.
Better art, yeah.
Art, real art.
See, Kuhn wants to say somehow there's better science, not just more of it.
Well, he's searching for a way to say it. He's not sure.
Better because there's more of it or something. More
really
problem solutions.
Science is knowledge, is what you know how to do. We know how to do a lot more things than we ever knew.
To me, you're conflating these things, although maybe they should be. Know how from know that. And you're saying, wait a minute, know that and know how are the same thing.
They're not that much
different. Well, this business of is science to be understood as technology, a kind of engineering, or as natural philosophy? Remember, one idea I had was, look, that's a way to understand the scientific revolution, a transformation of the notion of what science is, from a kind of natural philosophy to a kind of technology. That's Galileo versus Aristotle. It turns out, just let me say this so I don't forget. It turns out this is also a way of talking about this in a completely different discourse. I don't know where it goes back behind Max Weber, but Weber, Horkheimer, Habermas, all these kinds of Frankfurt School people. What they do is talk about instrumental rationality and substantive rationality, and they talk about the displacement of substantive rationality by instrumental rationality. Now, while I am pretty ignorant of that way of talking about things, it does seem to me this is a Germanic version of the mistake that says there was a transformation of method. Somehow, Aristotelian method is a different thing than Galilean method. You know, that it's about methods. No?
It is a different method.
Yeah, well, I don't believe that, you see. I think right here is the beginning and the end of what there is to say about method, and everything else is apprenticeship. That is, everything else is either rules cooked up after we learn how to cook, and we want to give guidelines to people who can't apprentice themselves, so we write cookbooks, right? Or, I mean, there are methods like
activities, like Aristotelian
idioms of activity.
Things.
Idioms
they do different things than Galileans do. They will try.
Well, sure, but that's
many.
But different things is. That can be trivially true.
That convergence
anyway.
Of technology philosophies.
Well, it's not so much a convergence as this is now philosophy or cosmology or something. This is what most of science is.
It seems, at least partially, that's what Masons are. Sort of this idea of the craftsman and the academician coming together in one person, emerging of
that's
the,
right.
That's what I meant when I said converging.
And part of
being done by the same person, there is difficult to separate the two.
Okay, now, but here's how the big picture would work out if this is right, and I'm sure there's something to it. If that's what, in some sense, the 17th century is about, Galileo wins the day. Science understood as a kind of good engineering, as opposed to a kind of good, what do we call it? Good philosophy, good metaphysics, good, I mean, it's finally good metaphysical human biology or something like that. That is, it's this inquiry as essentially asking, where do persons find themselves at home, or something like that. How do you locate yourself in the universe? If that's what's happening, I was giving sort of Germanic readings of it. How do you locate yourself in the life world, stuff like that, the way you've been spelled. If that is the transformation that we call the scientific revolution, then something to say about the Enlightenment and subsequent things is that kind of transformation spreading through the culture so that everything becomes technology, everything becomes engineering, everything becomes administration and management, which is what we suggested would be substantively or conceptually implied by the Hobbesian thing, right? There's nothing to do but manage. We were suggesting.
There's theoreticians in science as well.
I know.
But at the same time, a theoretician is, although to some extent some of them are metaphysical, they'll try to sort of a global theory.
That's right.
In another sense, they're making new techniques.
Oh,
like
this
Lorenz
remains.
Doing with multiplying.
Well, this is why Max Delbruck is such a good anodyne to all of this, because he's here to tell you, as far as he's concerned, he's a very successful scientist with lots of techniques. And a Nobel Prize and all those things, and he's the guy who invents a lot of modern molecular biology. And he's here to say that from where he sits, he thinks what he's been doing is like this lunatic in Beckett's story. He's obsessed with this insane notion of having to figure out how to suck stones without ever having more in one pocket than the other. And he's completely mad, and it's an obsession, and it's kind of crazy. And that for him, that's what it feels like to be in science. And if somebody says, you're just a good engineer, he'd say, it's the farthest thing from my mind. And I think he could perfectly well understand, it's pretty clear from the discussion he engages himself in there, he can perfectly well understand that when he's done figuring out how to shift the stones around so that he's able to sleep at night, it is now in a public domain where the biggest thing that might go on is now with the engineering of moving stones. But that's not what he was doing. He was dealing with a kind of personal obsession. But when it becomes, as it were, public property, it's out of his hands.
But not all techniques are what we call engineering. I mean, there's technique in the sense of what we mean in modern terms like technology, and what we have are methods to articulate paradigms or to solve scientific problems, and in that sense science is about largely about techniques to solve problems rather than about
well, I'm thinking I mean, another way of looking at this is the old business about realism, instrumentalism, and instrumentalism remains maybe increasing, I don't know, it's a pretty popular interpretation of theory. So even the most theoretical person might say, remember I mentioned this, look, I don't know anything, I know how to solve wave equations, I know how to do tensor calculus, that's what I know. It so happens that when I apply it in a particular way, I can make predictions about where Pluto is going to be, or about where you'll see a star during a solar eclipse. And they're better predictions than the guy who just knows how to do regular old 18th century calculus. but all I know how is to manipulate that stuff. So it's a kind of mental technology. And I don't believe that any of this says there are epicycles. Some people, though, say, no, no, God is a mathematician. So there. But one of the challenges, I think, here is the whole business, again, of biography. Max Delbruck's own personal perception of something is something that can never be made to go away, because it's part of what he knows he's doing. And any theory that says, any theory that without very good, how shall I put it? Any theory about science that has as one consequence Max Delbruck is lying about himself, better have good reasons to say that. That is, I would think the standard of a good account, an adequate, a good account of what's going on, one standard has to be that it explains the persons involved more lucidly to themselves. So that a good theory would have to have Max saying, especially in those places where it amends his own account of himself, ah, this has made me see something I didn't see, and it's right. You see what I mean? As a kind of standard. Doesn't mean people don't fool themselves. And one way in which Max might, in this imaginary standard, the way it might apply is Max saying, I was fooling myself about so-and-so. But if that isn't at least a standard, then you're into this kind of facile business of she was just acting out her class interests. She was just acting out her gender interests. She was just this, that, or the other thing. Which is a claim to authority about explaining that in a sense doesn't know what's going on, because it doesn't know what that person is doing. Right? It's too automatic. It's too facile. Anyway, so for reasons like that also, I'm very persuaded by that kind of account about narrative, about history, about real lives being lived the way they really are. And this is why, finally, I think Collingwood is the way to go underneath all of this. The real science of human nature is called history. And that's what underlies all this, because at the end of the day, this is the big, big, big picture, at the end of the day, these cosmologies, if you want, are kind of our understanding of ourselves as persons made external. The history of cosmology is the outside story, whose inside is the history of human nature. Whose inside is the history of human self-understanding. So the project in which we want to make progress is understanding persons better. And what we want to say is that history has its ups and its downs. And part of our job is to try to make it have an up. And it might involve perceiving that recently it's had a down, as we've told weird stories about what human beings do that in some sense are false to what persons are like. So this is meant to give you some courage in assaulting these fortresses of crackpot rationality and scientific understanding, and say, just hold on a second, does this make any human sense? And if it doesn't, trust your judgment that you're right. Now, and work on it. How's our time?
We're up to 10:02.
Oh, God, all right. Well, we didn't do a lot of things, but we did some things, and you have a sense of where to go with what we didn't. There's all that technology and society stuff, but at least we've got a head start on how to look at it. So, good. We're done.